Bless the beasts and the children, for in this world they have no voice. They have no choice. Bless the beasts and the children, for the world can never be the world they see. Light their way to thee. When darkness surrounds them, give them love. Let it shine all around them. Bless the beasts and the children. Give them shelter from the storm. Keep them safe. Keep them warm. Amen. In this year of the child, I feel you can't separate the beast from the children. I say that as a veterinarian. I can't picture them apart. I have a confession to make. I'm a rat. This morning I was a rabbit, but today, this afternoon, I'm a rat, and I'll tell you why I'm a rat. Okay, all the way up, huh? Because when Walt wrote to me and asked me what I'd talk about when I came up in September, I want to just reply messages. I wrote it out, you know, and usually on these things I always check it out with the chief. And I was in a big hurry. I was always like a day late and a dollar short, and so I brought the carbon home, but it's already in the mail, and she went through it, and the governor blue pencils things, you know, the governor's blue pencil something they don't like. Well, the chief, she blue penciled out raising children where I made my mistakes, you know, or something like that. I think that's the title of it. And she was pretty serious about this. I haven't quite figured it out. She isn't here today. She's out. I'm surprised she hasn't got a sign. but you heard the announcement, you know. I mean, the mistakes we made, it's the mistakes I made, see. And that's what I'm going to talk about. But we did a few things right, and I'm also going to talk about that. And then I got some hang-ups on some of this. And I figured the year of the child, somebody's got to talk about how to raise them. And so did Walt. I think one of the things is, I've been trying to analyze this ever since she blue penciled it. See, we have three children. One of them's 33, one is 30, and one is 28. And as far as I know, and I think as far as the chief knows, they are not married, nor do they have children. And she has no grandchildren. And I think that she thinks one of us have gone wrong, or maybe both. But I don't want you to tell her I said that, although we have discussed it. All right, now, the first mistake I mentioned at the morning hour when I was here, about uniqueness, about the uniqueness of each individual, and I have a real hang-up on that, and it's I can prove it biologically. But I haven't seen a mother, as I said, that doesn't have a little baby, and it's unique. There's none other like it in the world, and boy, they'll go to the mat on it, you know. But it doesn't take long before, why don't you do it like he does it, or she does it, you know, and pretty soon they're all the same, huh? And you're given, why aren't you like that one? And that's a big mistake. I watched a person, a tree doctor once, working on trees, and he'd back off and look at it, and he'd cut something here and there, and then he'd move it around a certain way and brace it up a certain way, but no tree did he ever handle the same. And if they do that to trees, we should be doing it to children. And another thing that I did, I was too fast to condemn certain actions or get after them about something, and not enough on the positive end of things. And I should have really known better, because I've watched a lot of female dogs have pups, and I've watched them raise them. And if you count the number of times that they lick their pups and gentle them and nudge them and caress them and give them warm fuzzies, compared with the number of times they rap or bite at them, the ratio is 9 to 1. Huh? 9 gentlings and warm fuzzies and 1 rough. Huh? Well, during our early days, I think I was going about rough, you know, about 9 to 1. See, the opposite. So that's a mistake, and I'm telling you. Huh? All right? And the third thing I did that was wrong was, and something I know better, and when I get to be dictator, this is going to change. Anybody that's going to have children, the first thing they have to do is get an animal, a female, and it's going to have little ones, and they're going to raise them. Every mother has to raise some baby kittens or cats, or dogs or goats or lambs and raise them up. And if they do a pretty good job on that, or mice, and if they do a pretty good job on that, then they pass the driver's test. And we didn't do that. We got Susie, but she didn't have pups till the kids. Now, that was a good thing we did, but we should have done it first. Another thing that I didn't do enough of, although I did some, and I did it more with the boy. He was the oldest. Spent a lot of time. Boy, I've thrown enough balls over that plate to, boy, it's still sore. Huh? Or throw out that pass. Only I had to do it underhand because something happened to me in the war, so I couldn't do it very well overhand. But it's very important, and I didn't realize the significance of this till the children were quite large, and then I'd go out maybe running at night with just one, or walking. Just one. You take them one at a time. It's not, when they were younger, we were always a lot together. But it's very important you spend some time with each one alone. And I didn't do enough of that. The other thing, I was in employment for a part of the time, and I knew better than this. And wherever I could, I'd take them to a work area. But the majority of my work area was in a secured area for a great part of the time, and they were growing up. Now, that's bad, and I encourage my faculty and my staff that they bring, that they have their children with them, at night or weekends, if they come up to check something, to train them and have them work with them. I think this is very important, when I was in the clinic, finished my professional work, well, Buzz was born then, and I started taking the clinic when he was about 6 weeks old. Maybe it was 4 weeks, I don't know. But this was very important, but then I was in secured areas, so they couldn't come there. And this was a great, this was not good. Another thing is, I mentioned positive reinforcement, that this works in training animals. It really does. You can get a dog to do almost anything with positive reinforcement, but I don't think we do it enough with our children. And then, now I was always the big guy, and, the little kid's in there flushing the kitten down the toilet. and you come walking there, what are you doing, Well, I'm an fairly intelligent guy, and, anybody can see trying to flush the cat down the toilet. Huh? Nothing, Well... But this whole thing bugs me, because a lot of people come and see me for various reasons. Some of them are angry, but a lot of them They come up, they want to meet the dean, and then talk to him, and then they got some kids along. And it's often little kids, you know, like this, and a lot of them don't even introduce them. And they talk, and the children are ignored. And then when a lot of people talk to kids, and what they say, most of them don't know what to say to kids. How's school? Boy, you really want an honest answer? You really don't. And most of them say, how's school? But they don't wait for an answer. It seems to me kids get tired of looking at belly buttons, huh? You know, and belt buckles. That's where they are. And then, what I try to do is get down about like this, you know. So you're eyeballing them. And then ask them something, then, how's school? Figure out something else. And they're pretty interesting to talk to. And then another thing we did, because somebody told me, you got to prepare these kids so they're ready to go out into the world completely at 18. Well, you cut the cord and that's it, you know. And I worked on this real hard. And boy, they were, especially the boy. Boy, I gave him a lot of tough decisions. And I didn't know it till later. The chief says, you know, he comes to me and he says, he expects too much of me. You know, well, I was teaching him to make decisions by making decisions. Now, I believe in that. Now, I probably didn't do it enough with a couple of the others. But maybe too much on him. You don't want to expect too much. And I think this is a bit overplayed, that, boy, they got to be ready to face everything at 18. I think it's well they do that, and that's what happened to ours at 17 or 18. You know, it's a way to either to live in whatever, in our case, they went off to some college and a live-in college. And this was essentially a requirement. Another thing we did, because I felt very strong about this, and now I'm not sure of it, and some of you, we're going to leave some time for discussion, so you can tell me other places I went wrong, but because some of you know my kids. But I always thought, boy, it'd be nice to have your own room, you know. Mm-hmm. Boy, we worked hard to get every kid in his own room. Huh? And I'm not so sure that's a real good idea. Because we got three of them, their independence is hog on ice, and they're still living in their own room. Alone in their own room, yeah. Well, one of them's got a cat and a dog, and another one's got a cat. Another thing, we did quite a bit of playing, but I worked very hard, and demands my job and all, but I think we should have played more than we did. I think it's very important that you learn how to play, and that the parents, and especially the father too, you actually play a lot. This is what I call prepare for heaven, huh? Because that's what you're going to be doing there, and if you don't get any practice at it, you might not be very good at it. So you've got to learn when you're young. Huh? And the other part of it is, it's so important in dogs, you got to do it, most of what you're going to do before, you know, 12, 18 weeks or so. You got to get it to them then, huh? As far as their training and everything goes, most of it, anyway. It's best done when they're young. And I work a lot with old people. And the habits that they take up when they're old, there's a lot of difference. I mean, it essentially determines their habit patterns relative to food, the kinds of food they eat, and also their love of animals. And if there's anybody that needs an animal, is an old person living alone. When I get to be a dictator, it'll be a requirement. But most of them, many of them don't realize the greatness of this because they never had one when they were young. Okay? So it's very important they have an animal when they're young. And this whole play thing, and also that when you get old, You still like to play. Huh? I still like to have fun with kids. Like the other day, I had a lot of fun out here. I was busy preparing something in the library. And two real neat little guys, they were upstairs and they were having a really great time, I think. They were chortling, and there's nothing more beautiful than the real healthy laughter of a child. And I was really enjoying it too. I wondered what they were doing. But they were really laughing up a storm, and then pretty soon I heard something hit the window in the library in here. And they had a string coming down, and a wooden fish on it. And it kind of knocking against the window there. And well, I just couldn't keep myself from it. I went out there and opened the window real quiet and grabbed the fish and started jerking like this. And I thought that I was afraid they were going to fall out the window. They were just laughing up the storm, and I made one mistake. I stuck my hand up, and I was wearing this OD jacket, see, and they saw it. And it wasn't long before, and I was back very studiously going at it, and come running in. He was still laughing, see, and he looked at me, and I kind of looked up, and you're the one, you know. But that's important. Another thing that I think went wrong on, and it's something that my mother did right, and that is she insisted that I learn how to get up and talk in front of people. And we didn't do that to our children. And the school system didn't do it all that well either, and they didn't really teach them how to spell well. And that's been a real handicap ever since to them. And my mother, who was had to quit work, she was an immigrant, and she had to quit work at quit school at the seventh grade and go on to take care of the rest of the family because her father died, and take care of the other six or seven children in the family. But she could write a better letter, better penmanship with better spelling than any of our children, who have all had postgraduate work at college, university. So that's another place I went wrong. Now, what did we do right? Well, I'm going to try out a few things on you. One of the things I think that the chief did right. The chief did a lot of things right. She's pretty close to perfect. You can quote me on that. But the one thing she insisted on, she was always at home when the children were in school. So that if they were sick or when they came home from school, she was always there. And this to me and to her was very important, and we discussed this. Another thing, we made a pact right after we were married that we wouldn't countermand the actions of the other, ever, in the presence of anyone. If she said, the earth is flat, the earth's flat. We'd have a talk about it afterwards. And we wouldn't talk about Buzz, with Buzz and Becky and Karen there, you see. You know, Buzz, you know, he's doing this and he's doing that, you know, and running him down. Huh? You never criticize in company. You compliment in company, but you criticize in private. And we tried to do that. Another thing we did was to teach them how to pray early. And they started out, as soon as they could talk, they could pray, and they did pray. The other thing is, we tried to emphasize the importance of service to other people. And whether it's by chance or by design, but they're, one of them is ministering to the health of people as a internist and cardiologist. One of them is a children's librarian who is not only concerned about the children, loves children and librarian, but now she's taken on learning sign language so she can talk to the deaf children. And this wasn't provided for in her situation. So she's concerned about them. And Becky has worked went into special education where she helps the handicapped And so I'm thankful for that. And it may not have been anything we did. We introduced him to animals very early. We always had some kind of an animal around. I told you about the rats yesterday. And dogs and cats and... But I didn't do anything right there. I remember I was riding home my bike one day and a guy came along and says, "Boy, you got to bring home a cat here. You haven't got a cat right now, and this and I got to haul all these cats back to the..." My wife put her foot down and she said, "Get these cats out of the house." And he was on his way to the pound and the whole backseat of the car was full of cats. And he says, "I just can't part with shag, so here I am on my bicycle, 2 miles to go home." So I was brown bagging it in those days too, and I put the cat in the brown bag, hauled it home. Buzz was sick in bed, didn't even raise his head from the pillow. And so I put the cat down in the sack in his bed, and by the noon the next day he was back at school, fully healthy. That's when I started believing in animal therapy. But then the cat got bigger. And the chief was after me, you know, we got to castrate that cat. And so one day night announced, I says, "Well, we'll take the tonsils out of the cat next Saturday or something, you know." So chief, the next day I came home, and well, whenever she went to the store, here's the three kids after her, and they had been down to the store, local store, and everybody knew each other there. And no Buzz, he knew the fruit and vegetable man. He went up to the fruit and vegetable man. He was a fairly noisy guy, and he went up to me and says, "You know what? My cat's going to have her tonsils out." You know, here all over the store. See, by this time the chief is running around the cornflakes, you know. Hiding behind the cornflakes. The guy says, "Boy, I never heard of that. That's what my daddy says. He's going to have his tonsils out." And I got home and the chief says, "You're going to tell that boy what's going to happen to that cat." But time with children is very important. And another thing is time with grandparents. This was really critical to our children. And it's something that I really miss, because I only had one grandparent, because that's the only one that was alive and in this country. Let's see, the other two, yes, that's right. Well, there are only two in this that were in this country, and one of them was dead long before I was born. So I only knew my grandmother, and she only spoke Norwegian. Well, I spoke Norwegian too, until I was 10, and then she died. And that was the end of it, you see. And that was, I think, one of the great tragedies. Our children knew their grandparents for a long period of time, and they really had a great time with their grandparents, one set in the city and the others in the country. And my father, who was on the farm, our son really got a lot out of that. Time on the farm, it meant a very great deal to him. And to this day, this has been very, very valuable to him. And they were very kind to the grandparents. They were very important to them. And as a result of it, I think they have a great compassion for old people. And I think that's very important to teach our youngsters. And another thing we did, and unfortunately I think it wasn't necessary, but early on, when the children were young, I made arrangements with insurance that would take care of them, and if something happened to my wife and I, both of us, and we made arrangements with a couple that are here now, and I said I was waiting for somebody to come, and it was Ken and Lois Erickson. We made arrangements, although they weren't my brother and sister, and I have brother and sister, I made arrangements with them that they, and had it written in, so that they would take our children as a family, and they would raise them. So they would be kept together. And I already mentioned about training in desirable food habits. This is very important. I know it's very difficult today. It was easier when our children were growing up. There's a lot of lousy stuff you can buy today, and you're hit on it with television all the time. And And I'm glad we didn't have, we didn't get a television set for quite a while. We were the last ones in our area of town to get one. And I'm glad I held it off as long as I did. Boy, and I'd hate to be raising kids now. It's all right if they watch the Muppets. I watch them too, but not very many others. Another thing we did. Dinner was a great occasion. At supper. It was for to be a happy occasion. And even the dogs knew it. And in fact, sometimes for a while, I come out of a pietistic background. At supper, we'd have our supper, and we'd try to keep it on a jolly note, and then we'd have brief devotions and prayers, but the dogs, they usually got fed afterwards, and they'd start playing, and then the kids, maybe it'd be turn for one of them to pray. And then by that time, Susie has got Charlie down, and they're pushing around, and the kids start laughing right in the middle of the prayer. That really bugged me for a while, and I kind of laid the law down. But then I says, you know, they're celebrating too. But it was a happy occasion, and people, often the kids would say, boy, you know, you really have a good time at supper. And I think that's important. Instead of having big fights, you can have your fights other times. It's bad for digestion. You know, and the other thing, I try to bring home people for dinner, but always tell the chief ahead of time, usually. But some interesting people, maybe foreign people. And I think this is important so they get a handle on other kind of people. And another thing that did, we got them to Holden. No, two of out of the three. That isn't too bad. I never did make it with Buzz. But we got the girls here, and it just made a lot of difference because they were very introverted and had really low opinions of themselves when they were young as out. And this really did a great deal for them, and they got to be their own persons. And they were here in not when I was here. And that's very important. And we allowed them also to go off to school, and I said they could go up to 1,000 miles away, and that's about what they did, almost. So that kind of summarizes. And OKK is here. I know all of you have had, most of you now have had courses, you know, in how to raise your kids, see. Well, I haven't, I'm just teaching the course. I never had the course, except when you raise three teenagers, it's a course. It's a course. The other thing I tried to do was to pick out the no's very carefully, but then hang in there. And hang in there. But you got to select them very carefully. Well, that's the half-wit and wisdom of an old sheep herder.